those of their ancestors. They have disgraced me by burning incense on mountains. Here is what the Lord says. A cluster of grapes that produces wine is worth keeping. So, because of my servants, I won't destroy everyone. I have chosen the people of Israel and Judah, and I will bless them with many descendants. They will settle here in this land of mountains, and it will be theirs. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the second reading, excuse me, are we on the psalm? I'm still rattled from this morning, really. Okay, well, we'll do the psalm responsively. I will begin. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me.
I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. Their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
The dominion belongs to the Lord, for he rules over the nations.
The second reading is from Galatians 3:23-29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel for this third Sunday of Pentecost. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Then the disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invited children or youth to come forward for the children's message. There we go. Hi, Adeline. Didn't see you coming up. We'll get some help from these people this morning, too, okay? Have you ever had kind of a bad day, Adeline? It sounds like Karin had a bad morning. I had a bad morning years ago. Actually, it was a bad day when I was in college, and I ran out of gas 3 times in the same day. You had a bad dream, that counts as, sometimes that can be part of a bad day. Well, I think everyone has had a bad day at some point in their lives. And in the Old Testament lesson that Karin read, she was reading about a group of people called the Israelites who were having a bad day. Actually, they were having a bunch of bad days all put together because they were in exile, having to live in a town, a place far away from where they normally lived. But eventually, God brought them back home. And the people sometimes felt that God wasn't with them. So God assured them that he was, and God was trying to get their attention. He said, "Here I am, here I am." And sometimes there are different ways that we get people's attention, but sometimes maybe yelling at them, waving your hands is a way to get people's attention, right? And then maybe they'll respond to you. Well, what I liked about that first verse that Karin read was, it read, "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am I. Here I am I. Here I am." I think we have lots of different pictures of who God is. We have this picture back up here behind the altar of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have another picture up in the balcony of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the image that I'd like to have you think of Jesus is your mom or someone else that you love waving to you saying, "Here I am. Here I am." That God is always that one who's waving to us, trying to get our attention, calling us by name. Let's pray. Dear God, thanks for getting our attention and for trying to get our attention. Please keep trying. Amen. I invite the congregation to join in singing hymn number 525, and we'll sing it through twice.
Blessed are you coming near, blessed are you coming near, to this church in wine and bread, raised from soul, raised from dead. You are holy, you the cosmos praise you, Lord. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to our God. You are holy, you are whole, you are always ever. Blessed are you coming near, blessed are you coming near, to your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from death. You are holy, you Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to our God.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's an odd and tragic story, our gospel. A man is completely dominated by demons. He can't restrain himself or be restrained. He's naked and alone. We discover he's homeless, abandoned, lives among the tombs, that is, among the dead, in a wasteland, a place considered unclean, unsafe, unapproachable. Then Jesus enters the scene, heals the man, and the demons are sent into a herd of pigs who go off a cliff and drown. It's an amazing story when you think about it. Jesus has just crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the land of the Gerasenes. That means that he didn't just cross over the sea like we cross over the Narrows to Kupernaum. Jesus is crossing boundaries here. Jesus has left the land of the Jews to enter the land of the Gentiles. No self-respecting Jewish rabbi would be taking his band of followers there. When he gets there, he's immediately confronted by a man named Legion, who's more than possessed. He's occupied. This man had been plaguing the townspeople of Gerasea with his unruly behavior. They pushed him to the edges of their city, amidst the tombs, out of sight, out of mind, as good as dead. Now they could live in peace. But then Jesus comes along, and the uneasy peace is upset. The possessed man didn't ask for help, didn't ask to be healed. He asked Jesus to leave him alone. However, Jesus will not allow the unclean spirits to keep tormenting the man. This is what Jesus does in Luke's gospel. He seeks and finds the lost. He restores people's lives. Confronted by the presence of Jesus, the demon-possessed man falls at the feet of Jesus and cries out, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Jesus demands the demon's name, and the man says, "Legion, for we are many." It's heartbreaking that this man has no name. It's not Elijah or Peter. He has no identity except for what he is captive to. This man is completely defined by the demons that possess him, by what assails him, by what robs him of joy and health, by what hinders him and keeps him bound, by all those things that keep him from experiencing life in community. What's even more heartbreaking is that a lot of us aren't all that different. We have a tendency to define ourselves in terms of our deficiencies, the mistakes we've made, or our disappointments. Those things, those demons that keep us awake at night or chase us during the day. We don't think of them all the time, of course, but sometimes the mistakes of the past and the heartaches and anxiety of the present take their toll on us. The culture doesn't help us that we live in, doesn't help us remember that all is in God's hands. The majority of the advertisements we see or listen to have as their goal creating in us a powerful sense of insecurity. Whether they focus on our looks or status, our possessions or our relationships, they try to create in us a sense of insufficiency that can only be remedied by buying the product or service advertised. All too often, it seems, we comply. Not always, of course, but take a look around your home. Notice how many things you have bought that you just don't need. Why did we buy all this stuff? I catch myself saying, why did we get this? Or why did we move that with us when we came to Alaska? Perhaps we accumulated these things because we believed the advertised promise the product made. I don't want to admit that, but I fear it's true. But before we could believe its promise, we had to believe its claim that we were insufficient in some way. We needed that product or that service to give us something that we thought we lacked. In essence, we too are legion, the ones possessed. Of course, it's hard to talk about being possessed these days. We don't experience demons as described in the Bible. However, all the demons that Jesus confronts have three things probably in common. They cause self-destructive behavior in the victim. The victim feels trapped, and they separate the victim from community. Does it sound familiar? Don't many of us suffer from some of those snares and burdens? If we define demons as those forces which have captured us and prevented us from becoming what God intends us to be, from experiencing the abundant life that God wants us to have, then we're surrounded, possessed, if you will, by as many demons as legion. Our demons can be of many kinds: mental illness, paranoia, addictions, anxiety, obsessions, destructive habits, preoccupation with smartphones, and on and on. Sometimes it can feel like we're living in the tombs, trapped by feeling alone or in abusive relationships, or trapped by a sense that there's something we've done or something that's been done to us that disqualifies us from being accepted. Unfortunately, we may even end up like the man named Legion, living alone, cut off from family and friends. He withdrew from community and lived among the tombs in the wild. However, that is not the kind of life Jesus intends for anyone. So even before he asks for the demons to be cast out, Jesus does and restores his life. The demons end up entering that herd of pigs who rush down a hillside and drown. But instead of bringing order to the region, Jesus' actions bring a little chaos. The herders of the pigs run into town, tell how the man who had been possessed had been healed, and then how their pigs, their livelihood, vanished in a matter of minutes. They were afraid, filled with fear, so they begged Jesus to go away. I suppose it made sense for them to do this. They were used to Legion. They were used to his ravings and rantings. They kept watch on him. He'd become part of their world. And so when the demons leave, and now he's just plain old Oli or whatever his name was, they don't know what to do. In fact, they're downright upset. Jesus' power scares them. Everything has changed. If Jesus can do this to good old Legion, they might be thinking, what might happen to us? It reminds me of a story about a man who had seven demons. And Jesus asks him if he wants to have demons removed. The man pauses and then says, yes, but cast out only six. We too are tempted to stay with what is comfortable, with what we know. Jesus comes to challenge and cast out every power that prevents us from living fully and freely as God's people. Deliverance from those demons, those forces of evil that draw us away from the familiar to embrace a new way of living and caring for one another. That's part of the prayer that we pray every Sunday, isn't it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. In Martin Luther's explanation to the Lord's Prayer, he writes, God's kingdom comes indeed without our praying, but in this prayer we ask that it may also come to us. God claims not only our souls in the future, but our lives here on earth, so that we can be freed from whatever weighs us down. Free to live confidently, trusting that all is in God's hands, and that someday, somehow, God is going to make you and all things new. The demon-possessed man was set free. It's no wonder that he pleaded with Jesus to let him come and follow him. But Jesus tells him to go home, tell others how much God has done for you. Most likely, it would have been more exciting to go across the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. Perhaps it would be more exciting for us to go across the Narrows or Frederick Sound or across the ocean to Norway. But perhaps today Jesus is saying, stay home. This is where you're needed. Tell others how much God has done for you. After all, we all have stories to tell, faith stories of when we have or haven't sensed God's presence in our lives. Some are joy-filled, some are filled with tears, some we may not have words for yet. But as we share those stories of our lives of faith, we too can join Legion and experience being set free and find hope for the future. Jesus is still about setting people free. He's still going out of his way, still taking the long route, still crossing boundaries, still daring to meet us in the middle of our tombs in order to heal and restore us. To put it another way, if Jesus goes so far out of his way to encounter this one man, what will keep him from seeking us out, from meeting us where we are, and accepting us as we are, from daring us to imagine a life in abundance, from sharing the good news of what God has done for us? The answer, in short, is nothing. Nothing will keep Jesus from searching out for us, finding us, accepting us, releasing us, calling us, loving us? Nothing. Jesus comes saying, "Here I am, here I am." Through our stories, the good, the bad, even the ugly, we're drawn back into this community we call the church. Jesus is still casting out demons, still seeking to set us free from all that weighs us down, still seeking to heal our every ill. May you be set free today from all that weighs you down. Amen. Our sermon hymn is number 612, "Healer of Our Every Ill." I invite you to rise as you are able.
Beyond our fears and hope beyond our song.